Good morning, good morning, America. This is your boy, The Preacher Parker Show. It's your boy, Jamal Parker, a.k.a. they call me The Preacher Parker. Why do they call me The Preacher Parker? Because if I just speak from the heart, I speak real, I speak the truth, and I speak what I feel. And I hope some way, somehow, in some place, right here, right now, that I will affect you too. Not only will I affect you, but I will open your ears to what's going on. I will open your mind to make you start thinking a little bit more deeper. And I will relate to any issues that somehow irritates me, irritates you as well, or vice versa. Or just, I'm going to say stuff that's going to make you just think like, wow, what is wrong with this country? Maybe what is wrong with this world? What is wrong with myself? What is wrong with the people I know? And what can I do to change it? And right here at the Preacher Parker Show, we're going to let you know what it's all about today. So, let's talk about today's show. Today's show, wow. I'll start off today's show about 9 to 5. 9 to 5, guys. I live out here in Florida, a little area called Winter Haven. And as you can tell right now, it's a pretty nice town. Nothing wrong. Community's pretty straight. Blessings everywhere. But it has nothing to do with work. See, I'm the kind of guy that want to live my life, and I'm hoping y'all the same way, traveling, enjoying my life. Never worried about my finances. Never worried about how I'm going to pay these bills. What I want to do is be a blessing for others. But when you work your 9 to 5, you can be a blessing. You can help people. You can change lives with your job. But is it going to really fulfill you, the life that you really, truly want to live? That's the real question. Let's face it, guys. A lot of us wake up every day on Monday morning. Monday morning, to most people, is 90% of the worst day in America to work. Why? Because it's the day after church, the day after football games, the day after barbecues, the day after having a family gathering. And then bada bing, bada boom, you got to wake up anywhere between 4 a.m. and whatever your schedule is, and you work that Monday. You come in grouchy, you come in irritated, angry about the fact that you got to work, because that's not what you want to do. If it's a job that you love, then this is not for you. But even if it is a job that you love, ask yourself, are you having all the time in the world to spend with your family? Or are you getting paid enough to do the things that you truly, truly want to do? Those are my concerns, people. This is your boy, Preacher Parker. I'm giving it to you to ask you those tough questions. Tell me, what do you think? Wow. So now, let's continue. Let's talk about this 9 to 5. I go to work. I clock in. I meet up with my bosses. They even say something I want to hear or I don't want to hear. Most likely it's going to be something I don't want to hear. Something that they're going to complain about. Because you ever notice that you could do almost anything right. Almost anything right that you believe that you did right. Whether it's cleaning, whether it's picking up stuff, whether it's dealing with the files, whether it's completing paperwork or helping a customer or making sure the back room is clean. Whatever it is you're doing, you feel like you gave it your all, you did what you had to do. But then the next day, or that same night, you still get criticized for something that somebody else made a mistake doing or one thing that you missed instead of being appreciated for what you did do. Yes, I said it, for what you did do. It's just, life can be frustrating like that. So now it causes some form of depression, anger, bitterness, or gossip. Because now you know gossip is the next biggest thing. Because what's the first thing we do? We tell other people about how the day was. We tell other people about how our boss was or what made us mad or what didn't work out or what got us upset. These are high concerns, people. These things only happen because you're not being appreciated for who you are. And at the same time, sometimes it's just the job itself. You took that job because you had to pay bills. You took that job because you had kids to raise. You took that job because you had to do something because it wasn't really that many opportunities around you. There's always something that causes that problem. But the only thing is, you realize that you don't like the job. You want to change it. But then a year goes by. 2 years go by. 5 years go by, you're still complaining about the same exact job, same problem, same issue, but yet not any of us done anything to change that. Let me tell you why, because I worked at KFC, people, for 13 years. And let me tell you something, in those 13 years, I had some good times. My good times was with my friends. My good times was hanging out with the people after work and laughing about those things. But the worst things, guys, was still being there, not owning the KFC, not managing multiple chains of KFCs, not being the face of a KFC, not getting paid that much, because you know you get like 25 cents a year, sometimes 50 cents if you're really lucky. Add that up, you really not making nothing. You wasted all those times, all those years for what? It grew so much anger in me, so much despite. And I said to myself, man, I can't keep doing the same thing over again and expecting some kind of different results. And I'm not satisfied with it. And because I'm not satisfied with it, I'm not even willing to change it myself. I just dealt with it. I let it become me. That's not the way, ladies and gentlemen. That is definitely not the way. I know that I'm not the only one out here that's going for the same thing. So I changed that. You know, I moved to multiple jobs. I'm still working up. I mean, I'm still getting promotions at my newer jobs. It's great, but at the same time, I feel that this is just not who I am. I'm the kind of person that wants to speak out to people. I'm the kind of person that wants to be that humble voice, that voice of reason, that voice that inspires and moves and shifts the direction of your life into a different way of this, in this atmosphere that we're living in right now. I mean, I have a lot of work to do to become the greatness that I want to be. But I truly feel it, the way I am, the way I speak to people, when I went one-on-one, I touch lives. And I've seen me do that. I truly can't wait to make sure I do that further on in my life. But my point in this whole situation, folks, is if you are working that 9-to-5 job, do what you have to do. I mean, if you're in that job, you truly like that job, stop settling for that little spot. Stop settling for that mediocrity. Move up. Uplift. Go up the chain of command. Be that bigger person. Take that impact. Take that feedback. Just change it around. Become the greatness. And teach somebody else to be just as great as you, so you can watch your promotion happen even faster. But if 9-to-5, the job you like, is not what you like, it's not what you want to do, and ask yourself, what are you going to do to change that right now? What are you going to do to get out of that situation? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to go to school? Are you willing to reevaluate yourself based on who you are and say, this is not who I am. I'm bigger than this. I'm better than this. I got more goals than this. I can change more lives than this. I can make an impact in my life for this. I can change the direction of my family all by being who I truly am. Find yourself. Find out who you truly are. Work that job. Save that money. Build up that job you want to start, that company you want to start. But be that person. So yes. Wow. Switch the direction of the job you're working in, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, truly redefine what you are doing. What are you going to do to change the outcome of what you're working on? What are you going to do to get out of that job? What are you gonna start first? The first thing I always say is pray. That's just my personal belief. You have your rights, have your own opinion. I say pray. I say meditate. I say start reading the books that interest you. Start watching the shows that feed you. Start listening to the right audios, the right CDs, the right mentors, the right speakers to get you on the right set. At the same time, find yourself alone. Whether you're in the forest, whether you're in the woods, in the desert, the groves, in your house, in your closet, find a way to get away from everybody. Get to yourself, speak by yourself, listen to yourself. Don't even force anything on you. Sometimes just be in silence for 2 to 3 hours. Just sit there. Let your mind think. You know, one great man once said, we pray, we meditate, we speak to the universe, and we wait. We ask. We say, we can't hear anything. We don't hear them. And you're right. Because you don't listen. You're doing all the speaking. How can you hear anything? Just be silent. Wait for the right moment. It's going to come to you, I promise. And when you find it, let it become you. And take action towards that goal. And don't be scared of the fact that you are going to be successful in that field, because it was already meant for you to have it, people. It was already meant for you to be that person. Do not shy away from a talent that you have. You know, I mean, you know who you are, who you believe you are. And sometimes we're scared that we don't believe we're as great as we think we are. Or we're scared of the fact that we know we have the ability, we just don't think people are going to accept us. Let me tell you something I learned personally on my own. And I'm going to let you know this right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is just something from the heart. There's about 8 billion people in the world. 8 billion people. And it's going to keep growing, ladies and gentlemen. Generation after generation after generation. The world's not ending no time soon. I'm not here to give you all that scare, Jenny. You got time, people. And with that time, you cannot tell me, if you came up with a great idea right now, out of 8 billion people, that 1 million people will not like what you're doing. I promise you, there's 1 million people out there in that world that appreciate what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're writing, what you're drawing, what you're reading, what you're saying, what you're dancing to, singing to, showing your athletic ability to. People are out there cheering you on, because the Lord, I believe, or the Creator, or the universe, has gave us enough people on this earth so everybody can have a fair share. You only need a good million, and you will be financially straight, living the life of your dreams. Reach that million, people, ladies and gentlemen. Reach that million. Yes, we all can't be Jay-Z and Beyonce, all right, getting billions of people to follow. We can't be Michael Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, all right? We can't be Brad Pitt. We can't be all these famous people that you love, and you say, wow, look how great they're doing. We're not supposed to try to be that. We're supposed to try to be us. Be you. I promise you, whatever you are or whoever you are is enough to make an impact. I just want to see the changes of people's lives. My favorite thing in the world is to look at somebody become successful because they're using their gift, their talent, and they are becoming who they're supposed to be, not who others tell them that they are. I mean, I truly hope that I can really make an impact on this Preacher Parker show. And I can get more feedback, more people that want to join my show, speak on behalf of everything I want to speak about, because trust me, I got so many topics I want to talk about. It's going to be about shooting, gun rights, school violence, children having sex at young ages, generational curses, does sex, gender fluidity, democracy, liberalism, you know, communists. We're going to talk about so many different topics, from UFOs to the black community, white community, Spanish community, to gang violence, to rape, to stealing, to police brutality, to people against police. Whatever the subject is, the subject against people, I will speak on it. And I truly pray I will get a great enough audience that will feed into this energy and be able to speak on their behalf, to speak their mind, to let the world know what they feel, what they got to say, so we can maybe reach an audience out there that will make an impact big enough that can make some changes around this earth. Because we got to make the change, people. We can't wait for nobody else to do it. So if you enjoyed the Preacher Parker Show, please share, please like, please follow, please continue to give me your feedback. Trust me, every feedback, even the negative ones, I will take seriously, because this is the only way you change and grow, is by hearing what people have to say. Thank you. I love you out there. This has been fun. This is your boy, Preacher Parker. And yes, a.k.a. Jamal Parker. Please follow your boy on Instagram, Facebook, and learn more from me. And I can't wait to get out there and touch your lives. Thank you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Preacher Parker Show. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being back with the Preacher Parker Show. Last week, I talked about 9 to 5. This week, I talk about the children this week. The children that are going missing. The kids that are being kidnapped or being wrongfully adopted. There's some kind of corruption going on. And right now, that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. So as you can tell right now, I'm on my way driving to my next destination to make some moves, make some things happen. But while I'm doing that, this gave me the opportunity right now to get what's off my mind. And what I have a major problem with, guys, is the rate of sex trafficking, human trafficking, the fact that kids are going missing every single day. I mean, how can hundreds of thousands of kids go missing a day worldwide? And it's like another day. It's like We go past it like it never ever happened. And like it's almost like we just adjusted to it. Like, oh, it's normal. How can you normalize children missing? How can you make that normal? How can you make that the new norm? I guess because you hear it so much that you just adapt it to the fact that it happens and just hope it's not your child. I'm sorry, that disgusts me. That bothers me. That should bother you, especially if you're a parent. But the crazy part about it is just the fact that you could just go on with your day and your life knowing that that little girl, that little boy has been taken somewhere else into somebody else's home, basement, underground, shop, cargo, train, whatever you want to call it. And when that child gets there, we don't know if that child is being sodomized or molested or abused or scientifically experimented on or trained to be a little soldier or a slave to somebody, or maybe in fact might actually be treated well by somebody. You know, we have those great cases out there, but the fact is we don't know what's going on with these kids. And I mean, look at the whole situation with Trump and, you know, the whole thing with these immigrants and these children being separated from their family. Now, I know everybody's against Trump and anything like that. I'm not here to talk about Trump or Obama or anybody else, but we all know that it wasn't just Trump's policies and programs that was written that passed these bills for this immigration things to happen. This happened way before Trump was even president. So let's get off of that subject. Let's stop blaming a person. What we need to talk about is what can we do as a country, as a nation, to change the rate of children being taken away without being identified and known or anything like that. And I'm not talking about some crazy stuff, and I know there's ways around it. I know we hear scientists talking about, you know, giving people the RFID chip. You know, if a lot of people don't know about this little transmitter that knows where you are, this radio frequency, and it knows where you're at, what your location is. So you say to yourself, wow, okay, police won't know where the child is at. But at the same time, that child has a number, like we like basically like our social security number. We all are numbers anyway. But that child has a number, you know where that child is, you know what condition it is. Soon it can be used for something negative. That's what makes most people fear. But at the same time, there is a positive. At least you do know where that missing person is at. You know, that's what we got to think about right now as a country. But what's more crazy to me is just that these kids can get lost, and the sleepwalkers and these kids that get lost in the forest or stroll away or run away from home and they end up missing. And those cases happen too. We can't deny those other options that are going on. But why these pizza gates? Why these organizations? Why are these sex trafficking children? Why are these taking organs from these children? Why so much evil? It's my big concern. Like, why so much evil? It's the real question. I mean, what have we become where evil is okay? It's a movie script. It just happens. No, it's not supposed to happen, guys. It's not supposed to be that way. I just hope I'm not the only one that feels this way. I mean, this is the kind of stuff I want to get off my chest. This is the kind of stuff I want to speak to people about. This is the kind of stuff I want to bring audiences into. This is the kind of stuff I want to talk about, having special guests that want to relate these subjects with me and talk about these matters. And why? I mean, this irritating. This is mind-boggling. It's just, I want to see change. And I really believe that change can happen. Change can only happen based on who we are, what we're doing, what we could do to make a difference. I mean, I heard about Ashton Kutcher even came with a program, and I can't remember the name right now, but it was definitely a way to attract children and help out kids who was being trafficked and forced into prostitution and child labor. I mean, that's another thing we could talk about right now, just child labor. I mean, the fact that these sweatshops or anything like that, or these places where they're digging these caves or these kids getting diamonds and losing limbs for this stuff, or people making clothes and everything for under $1 a day, 16-hour shifts, hardly eating, just so you can wear those objects. I mean, the things we do to children, to people, to mankind in general. Wow. I mean, how does that not bother you at all? I mean, how does that not get to your skin? How does that not get you so bad and have anger towards what is going on in the world? Everybody wants to blame God. Blame God. Blame God. Why would God allow this to happen? God ain't letting this happen. It's us that's doing it. It's the people that's doing it. We have the free will to be good or evil. If we choose to do evil and we overlook it as the good people, we overlook it. When is it our time to shine? When is it our time, good people, to stand up and say no? No to this negativity. No to this bullcrap. No to these lies. No to these crimes that these guys get away with just because they got money and connections. When is it we going to be good people that's going to be fearless and not going to allow these organizations, these families, these groups, these corrupt people do the things that they do and get away with it? I'm just letting you know, guys. I'm just telling you what's on my mind right now. And I'm telling you on the Preacher Parker Show, you will hear it. I mean, it's effed up right now when I think about these kids right now. And, I mean, just for a second, if you could just sit back for a second and think of everything through that child's view. From the moment they're taken to the moment they're, what are they seeing? What pain are they feeling? We know how we feel is painful as an adult. So in a child's mind, what do you think that pain is to them? That hurt, that heartache. Ladies and gentlemen, the worst to me, more than a kidnapper, is a sibling, as a family member that rapes that child or abuses that child or traffics that child or locks that child up and bondage these children and eat these kids. And the worst thing in the world is to have parents that gets involved with that as well, and grandparents and uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters that do the harm to their own family that are kids. It's absolutely ridiculous. And at times like this, you know, the best thing we can do is pray for people. But at the same time, we need to take action, man. I think we as a nation need to stand up to what's right. The main thing that we forgetting or try to avoid is righteousness. Righteousness, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be righteous. That's what I want. I want us to be righteous and just think about, wow, how great we could be. And we all got together and for once in our lives said, no more negativity, no more lying, no more mistreatment, no more hatred, no more bigotry, no more hurting children on purpose, no more allowing pedophiles to get away with it. It's getting so bad, guys, that even on TV shows, we're laughing at pedophile jokes. We're laughing at scenes that's touching children or hurting children. We like, ha, if they make a comedy out of it, it's okay. Or to have an abortion. I'm sorry, man. I know people laugh at this abortion thing, or they think they make a comedy, or it's cool to just kill that fetus inside of you, that embryo, and just say, forget it. But honestly, people, honestly, you're killing. I mean, to me personally, the only way I personally feel about abortion, just my honest feelings, is if that female was raped. You know, rape is horrible enough, especially if she's raped by more than one person and she's planted in this situation. I have no rights to get in her way for what she decides. Or, matter of fact, incest. That's my second thing. That's my two things right there. Incest, you know, your daddy, your uncle, your grandpa got you pregnant, and you want to, you know, I have no rights to get involved with that as well. So that's my two main things for the abortion. But for any other reason, I'm sorry. Take care of your responsibilities. You open your legs up. You knew what you was doing at that moment. Okay, it's just, deal with it. That child don't deserve to die. And it's sad, the debauchery, the humiliation, the way people, what are we going to do, ladies and gentlemen? What are we going to do? It's just the fact that we try to make a moral out of wrong. But when somebody tries to do something good and conscious, then we always try to find the negative. It's just sick. It's really sick. So, I mean, I pray for us, guys. I pray for a nation. I pray, Lord, that you just give this country, this nation strength. Give us wisdom. Give us joy. Give us happiness. Give us abundance. Give us laughter. And give us a way to fight back against the wrongdoings, to stand up for justice, to go against injustice, to go against the court systems and lawyers and police and governments that do wrong, and applaud and love the ones that do right, and vote the good ones in. As Bonzo once said, and Nelson Mandela, other men say, what are you going to do that you're willing to die for? What is the most righteous thing in your mind that you're willing to die for? What are you going to do to make a change, people? You're here now, the Preacher Parker Show. I pray we stand up against all negativity, and we find a way to bring back hope into this great country that we know it should be. Diversity is a blessing. We should love each other and live amongst each other in peace and tranquility. God bless y'all. Y'all have a good night. Thank you for listening to the Preacher Parker Show.